Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Hanu. I'm not the pastor here. Werner is actually the pastor. But tonight he gave me the opportunity to take what would have been missions feedback and sort of turn it into a sermon as well. So I'm very excited for the message that God has tonight, especially given that it's Passover weekend. And I think we are in for a good encouragement tonight, because the word that I received is a very encouraging one, and it really is one that forces us to, I think, reevaluate what we hold dear and perhaps pull closer to God with what we then take from there. So before I start tonight, I'm just quickly going to pray and then we'll kick it off. Father, as we stand here tonight, Lord, it's exciting, Lord. It's exciting to see the work that you do, Father. But you don't only work in big headline things, Father. You don't just work on missions or with the people in the band or the people that stand in front, Father. No, you're such a personal God, Lord. That's the only reason why we live. Tonight, Lord, as we hear this message, we pray, Father, that you come and stir something in our hearts, Lord. Come and help us create order in our hearts, Father, so that our eyes may be on you. I pray, Father, that you also guide me in the message that I bring, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that it be your message and no other message that reaches the ears of everyone here tonight. And everyone says, Amen. I will ask some of the missions guys to give a quick testimony later on, and we did welcome them back, but for the last time, and because they looked so great on the video, can I just ask you guys to stand? You don't have to come to the front. Just stand, turn around, wave to everyone, let them see your faces. If you want to know... If you want to know anything about a mission, not from the guy who markets the mission, okay? You want to know what it's really like. Like, what's it really, really like, okay? What's the food really like? And how do you really sleep, okay? Go and speak to one of these people. They will tell you the absolute truth and nothing but the truth, okay? So that you don't perhaps feel I'm only telling you selected truths to make it sound great. I trust that you will hear from them that it is definitely as great. Tonight, I'm talking on why we mission, and I'm tying in with a sermon series that Werner basically closed off last week, where we spoke on CSSS or CS3, which basically just stands for church, small group, self, and serve. And we say here, Shofar Secunda, perhaps you're new here tonight and you missed that. What we say is, we say that that's basically the journey that we as a church see our members go through. So you perhaps start and you come here, you come to church, and that's perhaps because someone you know has invited you, you're new in town and you'd like to find a place to slot in. And from that, you inevitably go to small group, or you start at small group and you end up at church. Okay, so it's one of the two. And very many of the churches that we see today have that. Right. Now, what we found is that if we stop there, then as leadership and as disciple makers, we are failing, because that's not enough. I cannot invite, say, Brown to church and say, Brown, come with me to church. He sits, he listens, he hears a bunch of big words maybe from time to time, and he sings a song, and now he goes out, and perhaps nothing in his life has changed yet, okay? And small group does the same. We talk together, but it's easy in small group to talk on only the things that we like to talk about. Okay. And, if you have a good small group facilitator, they will typically challenge you from time to time, and they will challenge your views, because it's important for us to grow together. So from that, we see that we move to self. And that's really the point where we say, you yourself should be able to take in the word and to to have an appropriate response to it, which is to worship and to serve. Okay? And this is what we see from the Bible as well. When we look at Acts and we look at many of the books, in fact, in the New Testament, we see this thing. Someone comes to Christ, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they start gaining more knowledge, they just eat up the Word, really. In that time, it's not the Bible, but it is man-to-man discipleship or listening to the teachers. And from there, they go out and they say, but can I also serve? Can I also give? Here's what I have. Here's my house. Here's my money. Here's my food or my time. Or they just go out and they evangelize. Okay. And so we say, we feel that is the full process that we are going through. So last week, Vanner spoke on what it means to serve and why we serve. Okay. And there was three people up here, Murray Sumri and Brown Vian, and they quickly shared their testimonies. We can go to the next one. Thanks, Chris. And this is basically what I jotted down. You might have heard a different message, but I think these are some key points. Number one, why do we serve? Well, because God said so, and it's a command. Okay, so it's a command that we find in the Word of God many, many times. And Jesus often says this. He says, as I have done to you, you now go and do to others. Referring to himself as the teacher, serving those whom he teached. Okay, and there are many other verses, and we'll see that as well. Then, as we grow in Christ's likeness, we serve like he did. Which makes sense, right? I mean, if we're going to be more like Christ, we're going to do what he does more often. All right. Then we say, church is built up as each one finds their place of serving. And this also makes sense if you think about it, because God comes and says, we all together are the body of Christ. And one day when Christ returns, he's going to marry us. He's going to marry the church. This is the metaphor that we see. Okay. And the church can only function as a body when every part of the body is there. So we've said that, yes, maybe, you know, a body with one leg and one arm, it can sort of stand, but I cannot run. I cannot be successful in this way. Okay, and so when all the parts are there and all the parts are functioning, it doesn't help I have a hand, but my hand is lame and it does not work. It does not know what it is supposed to do, so it needs to function. When every part is functioning, then we are built up into maturity. And again, we find that word Christ-likeness. And then finally, in the sermon from last week, so this is just a recap, guys, before we dive in. We said that in the Old Testament, we see the old dispensation. That's just a big word for really a set of rules or a way of doing. And what it was there was that Israel, God's people, were to observe God doing amazing works. So Israel go, they come out of Egypt, they walk up to the sea, they stand in the sea and they say, okay, now what? And God comes and God opens the waters. Okay, now what happens in the new dispensation is that God is still doing the work. It's still his almighty hand moving, but now he works through us because the Holy Spirit lives and works in us. So now I have the authority by the blood of Jesus Christ, and so do you, to say waters open, and the waters open. Okay, and this seems like a far-off thing, but trust me, it happens every single day. And we put our faith in that power, even though we don't always recognize it or always acknowledge it. Here's a simple example. They expect many thousands of people to go to the prayer gathering where Angus Buchan will be leading it and so forth. And we're not saying Angus has any special powers or anything, and he'll be the first to tell you so. But if you don't believe, really believe that God is going to do something, what are you going to do there? You see, and so we sometimes go with the hype of God is moving. Yes, let's do this. Yes. But if someone asks me, oh, do you believe in miracles? You can do miracles? Like, no. That's, you know, weird people do that. Or American people, you know, in the big churches. Okay. There's no prerequisite for your church or the color of your jacket or your language even, except that you believe in Jesus Christ and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and then God works through you. This is an important thing for us to understand as we go into this sermon tonight, because tonight I'm going to first look at the Passover and hopefully from that see something about the heart of God. And then we're going to move into a quick feedback on the Zim mission, but not this mission, just missions in general. I'll use a few practical examples from this mission though. Now, to quickly speak on Passover, Passover is a very wide subject, if I can call it that. You can do a sermon series for anything from a month to a year on Passover, if you're a very learned pastor. Okay, so you can maybe submit that request to Werner, and it will be a nice little project for him. But I'm not going to try and do that tonight. Okay, so what I'm rather going to do is almost like a skipping stone across the water. I'm going to touch on a few key points, and I'll leave those ripples to go out and let it fall in your heart where it needs to fall. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit for that. But what we will see is we will see something of God's heart that I'm going to take through to missions. Okay, so you need to follow me for this. Now, let's quickly read from Exodus 12. I took just specific verses that just basically tells the story of Passover. If you want to understand the whole story and get all of the finer details, you're welcome to go and read through Exodus 12 yourself. But let's then start with the story of Passover from verse 3. So this is now God speaking to Moses. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. It just means you need enough meat for a whole household and it needs to be a lamb. Okay. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Okay, so you're basically going to take, and I think some of the other translations, or if you read it in different parts of the Bible, say it was a hyssop bush, just a type of plant. Take the bush, you dip it in the blood, and then you basically paint the deerkussein. Okay, you paint this side, you paint the lintel, and you paint the other side, and that way it's clearly marked. Okay, we do something similar when we anoint houses or places where people dwell, even churches. We take some of the oil and we put it on the top, and it's just a symbol of what we basically do and see here. Okay, verse 12. For I will, and this is now God speaking, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. Okay, so just quickly, that's the story of Passover, and that's where the term Passover comes. So the angel of death, as we all know, moved through the land of Egypt that night. It was the 10th plague. And as it came to the different houses, the firstborn of every living thing in that house was slain. It died. Okay. Children, older people, cows, chickens, everything. Firstborn died. Right. But when it came to the house of the Israelites and it found the blood there, the significance of this is that the blood was a sign that the sins were already paid for, because the lamb was without blemish. The lamb which they slain didn't deserve it. The goat or the sheep didn't do anything wrong. Okay. But it was sacrificed in the place of the Israelites. So here are a few key points from Passover. You can note them down if you like. Number one, it's a physical metaphor for our salvation. Okay, what you'll see in the Bible is that what Israel in the Old Testament experienced physically, we in the New Testament experience in the Spirit. Okay, so this is a physical metaphor for our salvation, but our salvation is the exact same thing. We are dead in our trespasses, we have sin, there's a claim on our lives from the enemy. Jesus comes, He is the perfect Lamb, sheds His blood, and the blood testifies that the righteous payment for sin has been submitted. Okay? And therefore you and I can be free. We never again have to pay for sins as long as the blood of Jesus Christ is over our lives. Right. Maybe just a note on this, and we share this many times, it's not my words, but the saying goes that the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. Okay, so it does that. Okay, it works together. You cannot separate the one from the other. They just have different angles of telling you the same story. Now, point number two, the lamb which is to be slain must be without sin or blemish. And we see this perfect example in Jesus Christ. Number three, the blood serves as a sign of the sacrifice. So it's a sign of something that has happened. What happened? Someone or something that was innocent was slain so that someone or something which was not innocent could be put free. Okay, so that's like I steal a car, and now I have to go to jail, but I cannot go to jail. It will kill me. Now Vessel comes and he says, okay, I'll go in Hanu's place. Someone needs to go. The payment for sins must take place because God is a fair God. Okay, it's important. Finally, God provides the Passover to save Israel. This whole part in Exodus 12 is God speaking. It is not man thinking, we have a predicament here. We need to save ourselves. Let's make a bright plan and then pray that God blesses it. This is from God's heart. Okay. And again, we see that later on in the perfect example with Jesus Christ. It is something that is initiated by God. It is God's action. So this brings me to something of the heart of God. And what we can see here is that if we have to look at this and just maybe step back and step away from the details and the lamb and how old he must be and what the time is and all of that, we see one thing. We see God sitting in heaven looking at his children in that time, Israel, today, you and I, and he sees a need. He sees that there is hopelessness in the people. They cannot help themselves. This is a situation beyond them. And what he does is he, you can say, leaves heaven in the Old Testament, but physically leaves heaven in the New Testament. Jesus comes from heaven in human form, in a human body, and he comes and he addresses that need. Okay, so he's not a far off God, he's a very personal and intimate God that moves into the place where the need is. And that realization, that something of God's heart, leads us then into why we mission. Why do we mission? Why do we do missions? Is it so that we can look great? Is it a marketing tool to show other churches we're better than they are because we send people to tougher places and make them eat weirder things? No. If that's it, we are so lost. That's really not it, guys. We mission, whether anyone knows about it or not, because that's what God does. God sees a need. He sees people. He sees us on earth hurting. And he says, I will leave heaven. I will go there. I will go and address that. In the new dispensation, in the new set of rules, we don't have to look at God and say, God, need over there. You should probably go. No. What happens is God says, Anu, Holy Spirit, now you go. Okay. And guys, this is probably once, I can't remember the name of this pastor, a guy that spoke at Convergence once, he said, The longest shift for us to make is the approximately 30 centimeters from year to year. And that's what happens with that revelation. We hear, yes, we've got the Holy Spirit and go and we're going to now, you know, power, drive out demons. Let's do all of the awesome things. But it's all up here until it sinks into your heart, until you pray for someone's child who's sick and they get healed in front of your eyes, until you pray for a breakthrough in a family where there is extreme strife in relationships and the next day the phone rings and a son that was gone for many years says, "Dad, I'm sorry. I want to come back." When that happens, that shift happens, that comes to our hearts. But there's such a big need out there, guys, and we need to first realize and make that shift in our own space. It's first church small group self, and then we go to serve. So I don't know where this lands with you tonight. Maybe you've experienced this in your life and you can say that self, you've had the revelation. Maybe you're still there. That's fine. But I want to encourage you, if you're also at the space of serving, then now is the time to go out, because there is someone that is relying on us as God calls us out to them. So, why do we mission? And this is really the summary of it all. Oh, sorry, my slides jumped. Jesus left heaven to meet us in our need, so we leave our lives and go to serve His kingdom. This is the foundational verse that Shofar was built on as well. Matthew 28 verse 19 to 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the last words that Jesus speaks to His disciples before He is taken up into heaven. So, before we go on with the slides, we then have to ask, okay, so Hanu, that's great, we get it, mission. What happens on a mission? What happens in my heart? What is it that takes place in the spiritual, in the natural? What do we see? Why go on a mission? Before I go into that, I've asked for two testimonies from our missions team tonight. So I'm going to ask that Toy and Anel just come and quickly share that with us, and you can hear from them what mission was like to them, and then I'll quickly go on. So, yeah, Anel, welcome. So, let's give Donella like a hand.
Yeah. It seems like I have to testify what it's like to be an aunt tonight. When Anna asked me to share something, you know, I actually said I only have 2 minutes. We were in cell together, and I'm a type of exhorter, so he knew he had to give me, you know, this little, you know, limited time, because I can talk for hours. But it is difficult for me to wrap everything up in 2 minutes time, but I'm going to try my best. I never been on a mission, so this was my first time, and I really didn't know what to expect. You know, I was like a little child going to school. I was very excited, but also a little bit afraid of what to expect. From hearing, everything is not as comfortable there. And also, you know, you hear about healings taking place, people that really need breakthrough, and you hear about this happening on missions as well. So the first thing I want to testify about was my heart was like one that admitted that I'm a broken vessel, but also what it did is it gave me fear. I thought that, okay, I'm broken. I don't know a lot. I'm not a pastor, you know. I truly gave my life to God only 2 years back. So I felt like, God, I'm only traveling along. I think this is going to be a nice holiday, a nice time mingling with my fellow mates. And I really didn't know what to expect. And the whole time I struggled to hand out my heart to God and said, okay, I am broken. I know I can't do this by myself, but I know you can. And this is something God really taught me on missions is, yes, we are broken. Yes, we don't know everything. Yes, we're not a level 12 Christian, as we used to joke on. But, you don't need to be that. All you need to be is you need to be willing. I just also realized that, God will never keep you from going there. Because there's so much to do. He needs our hands. He needs our feet. He needs our voices. He needs our dances with everyone. He really needs us to go. And that's the other thing I want to testify about is, I went there and I also thought, I have nothing to give. How do I serve that people? How do I give? But God is so faithful. I went there ready to give all that I have, and I came back receiving much more. And that's how great God is. He know where we struggle. He know where we are incompetent. But the Holy Spirit will guide you through everything. He will lead you. He works for us. We don't have to do the work. We just have to stand there and pray for someone. Something's going to happen. Because we serve a great God, a God of miracles, a God of breakthrough, a God that really wants to change lives. So yes, I just want to encourage you. Honey knew when we drove back there, I was crying the 5 minutes or so when I greeted the people. I think I was kind of embarrassment to everyone. But, God just really touched my heart. For everyone. It's not only there that we serve, that we mission. It's here as well, around us as well. So I just want to encourage you. I will go back tomorrow. I will spend 3 weeks there with a fulky butt and, a long drop and everything. But it was awesome. And I just want to praise the Lord for giving me the opportunity, for taking me there. He changed my life, and hopefully I did something for him as well. He could work for me as well, and he did. But he changed my life, expecting to change others. He changed mine completely and my heart and how I thought about stuff like that. So you're all honor to him, and if he can go, don't let anything stand in the way. Money is not a problem. Leave is not a problem. I can also testify about that, but I'm not going to because my 2 minutes are already gone. If you have the opportunity, put your name on now. It's going to mean a lot more to you than you think now. So, yes, thank you.
Great. Danelle, don't worry. I'm also a project manager, so I know if you half the deadline halfway through and you end up doubling it, then you're exactly where I wanted you to be. So don't worry about that. Toy, thank you.
Cool. I realized a very cool thing when we went to Zim this year. The only thing cooler than going on a mission is going on a mission to a place where you've missioned before. I've been there once before, and the coolest thing for me was actually to go back to places where we stood and prayed. I remember Hanu led that mission as well, and they said at that time, there's heavy resistance basically against the church. And then when we went back there now, there's a church planted there. It's small testimonies like that. The one guy we went, the chief of this one village, when he saw Marius, ran up to him. It's like, you prayed for me. It's stuff like that. It's continuous, growth. You can see that we don't just go, we go pray for people. We feel better. We come back. There's actually, there's something that changes there. God is actually moving there. And that was really, for me, profound. The other thing that was really cool was just to hear the heart of the church there as well. The Alliance Church there is doing really awesome work. Like, seriously, their heart is actually so in line with us. They are planting churches like crazy. They are bringing the church to people. They even talk about the dances that they do. They don't normally do in the church, but they do it because that makes the people feel comfortable. So they're going to the people. And they also talk about, they're also going to Mozambique on missions and stuff like that. They want to come here in mission. And, you know, they really, they have the same heart. And that was, for me, very encouraging. Yeah, it really opened my eyes again to what God is doing there as well.
Great. Thank you, Toy. Okay, guys, so I'm just gonna wrap that up in 5 minutes. On the next slide, this is what happens when we do a mission. Okay. First of all, a mission is called by God. That's very important. So what we find is that the Spirit leads us to bring, amongst other things, encouragement to the leaders there, ministry to the congregations, momentum in intercession or prayer, material for teaching, which is a practical thing, and then also to be the hands or to provide the tools for helping. This is just a quick overview of what we do there. And what I'm trying to indicate with this is that it really is God building God's church. Okay, you don't go there with a ton of bricks and say, guys, I'm here, I'm going to build you a long drop. Okay, it's not how it works. In the same way that we pray here and God moves us and God says, Werner, it's now time to do a sermon series on CSS or CS3. In the same way, God is showing them, we need you to go into this area, go and pray there. Pray that I will open doors so that you will meet the people you need to meet so that you can go and create a church there, plant a church there. And when we go on a mission, we pray on this side in the 6 weeks leading up to that and even before that. And as Toy says now, we've been there last year, I think it was Ham and the team. Last year, yes. The year before that, there was a team. The year before that, there was a team. That's the first time I went. But as far back as, I think, 2008 or 2006, I don't remember, Shofar teams have been going to this same church in Zimbabwe. Okay, so this is not a once-off charity event, bake some pancakes, make some money, leave. No, it is God building God's church. And we slot into that because we are invited. He invites us. But, and I'm so glad that Danelle touched on that. I didn't give them a script on what to speak on at all or anything, guys. But if we go to the next mission, we also find that we also receive. We receive the encouragement to endure with what God has called us to do here. You come back from a mission, you might have to sleep 14 hours straight, but after that, and a bowl of Cocoa Pops, I'm telling you, you head on out, you want to take on the world. You want to pray for every second person. You just look as if you're ill, I'm going to tackle you and pray for you. Okay, so don't get something stuck in your throat before me. Okay, it's going to happen. So you get such an encouragement because what? Why? Why? Is it because I've changed or I'm a different man? No. It's because I realize when I'm in Zimbabwe and there's no more air conditioner, there's no more run to the shop, get something quickly, buy something nice, yes, a Coke, so no lacquer, yes, no, there's none of that. What you have is you have the Holy Spirit. So when you are tired, there's no place to make coffee, there's nothing. So in that situation, you pray, God, I am tired. I'm empty. All I have is you and what you provide for me. Please, Lord, help me. And we all pray that prayer, but how often do we believe God will really help us? Let me tell you, when He really helps you, when half an hour later you're dancing like a lunatic and you feel like you can go for another 3 hours, at some point you stop and you realize, whoa, this is not me. This is not me. And that shift happens from your head to your heart. That shift happens. So you receive. It's not just about giving, giving, giving. It's also about making space for the Holy Spirit to come and show you what He's planting in your life. We find that leaders grow on missions. I can testify of this myself. We find that there's discipleship in the missions group itself. Mission, you know, guys that go on mission speak to one another, they disciple one another, but we also discipled by the people there, and they also expect of us to disciple some of their members in the church. And it's an amazing thing when you realize, and a guy like Zander can testify of this, you know, this is Zander's first mission. Zander hasn't been in church for that long, and Yet people come to him and ask him for advice. When he speaks, he experiences the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Because he's not the pastor, and I'm not the pastor. Very few people who are there are the pastor because he's got to work there. We find spiritual growth in God, and what that means is not just spiritual growth in general, but really hearing God's voice and knowing what he has for you and the way in which he speaks to you personally. Personally, God does not speak to every one of us exactly the same. Okay, and it's important for us to learn that. And finally, there's also this awakening of the spiritual gifts that we say. Okay. So what we can say then is that on Zim missions, we can move on, Chris. God gives the vision and he invites us to partner with him as he fulfills it. He comes, he works through us. It's his vision, it's his plan, it's his will being put into creation. Here's a few practical things. I've got four slides with pictures, so this is nice for the Prankie Mensa. This is how we go to Zimbabwe. If you see at the bottom there, that's Secunda, and then you typically travel to Pretoria. We don't travel to Pretoria, we travel to Middelburg, and we've got a road that we follow through there, all the way to Polokwane, that's Pietersburg, in the old school, and then you keep going north, 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 you cross the border at Bait Bridge, and from there it's another 120 kilometers or so to Munezi. So all in all, just over 700 kilometers, and if all goes well, the border takes 2 to 3 hours, then you're there in about 15 hours. Okay, so it's quite a long drive to get there, but so far in all of the missions that we have gone there, we can testify that God has kept us safe. We've never had any trouble. And even though on the Zimbabwean side, you might have some issues with cops now and then, you know, looking for bribes and all that type of thing, we've never been in danger. The hand of God has covered us as we've gone. If you zoom in on that little block that I've highlighted there, you can see the area that we typically see when we go on missions. And as you can see there, the top red arrow shows Rutenga. That's a small town about, it's slightly larger than Sasol. No, smaller. I think it's smaller than the Sasol complex. Okay, that little town. That's on the map. And then a bit further down, you see at the little river there, you can't really read it, but it says Munezi. That's where we go. And the only reason why it says Munezi is because that's the name of the river. There is no town. Okay. There's one shop that's built of bricks, and there's the church we go to that's built of bricks. That's it. Okay. Nothing else we refer to on missions, the areas we go to, is even shown on the map. Because there's nothing. It's just the way it is. But what I wanted to show with the two arrows there is exactly what Toy mentioned. When we were there 2 years ago, and I think maybe last year on Hum's mission, they also prayed there. The top one, Rutenga, in that town, we went into town, and you can now imagine coming into this random town. You don't know a single person there. And nobody really stays there. It's just an interchange for a bunch of truck routes and train routes. We were praying there that God would open a door for the church in Munezi, Ludwig's church, to meet someone so that they can go and they can find a church there. And when we went back now, we were so privileged and we were so encouraged because they took us to the new building, which is actually going to be their church building. They have, from then till now, found people, met with those people, had their home groups and small groups, built that into a church, got enough people to say it now warrants getting a building for church, and then God provided a church through a businessman in town who said, and hear this, my business is not doing well, so he needs the money, okay? But I'm going to charge you next to nothing to rent my place while I figure out how to do business. I mean, it is crazy, the testimony that comes out of that. Now they've got a big building, which is going to be their church, and on the 23rd of April, they have their first church meeting in that building. This is the way that God provides. The second arrow, the one lower down at Chinyu, that's a place where when we went there and we prayed 2 years ago at that spot, it was actually just a tree next to the road where we stopped. There's a road that goes into nothing, rural area, there's nothing there. And Ludwig said the leadership in the church felt that they should pray for this area. God wants to come and evangelize this area. And we said, well, okay, that doesn't seem to be any people here, but that's fine. Let's pray, you know. And as we prayed, the Spirit showed us all of these. It's like a tower, a stronghold that keeps watch over the area. And these were demonic strongholds that we had to pray against. And it's not as if we've got special powers, but the church, they had been praying against this for so long, and God used us as a missions team to go and add momentum to their prayers, encourage them once more. And the Holy Spirit comes, and He does an amazing work. We go back this year, 2 years after that, we drive in with that crazy little dirt road, and about, I don't know, probably 30 kilometers later, in the middle of the Mealie Lands, there's a little mud hut that has been built, and people gathered there. I don't know where they come from, because as far as we drove, we didn't see people, we didn't see houses. But the next moment, there's 40 people, and they're all worshiping, and they're singing, God is great, and people come to salvation, and they are set free. It is amazing, guys. It is amazing what God does. It's the same God. It's our God. It's their God. It's the same God. This is why we mission. Finally then, when we sat down and we spoke with Ludwig, this is what he gave us. Right now, they've got 6 churches in that little blocky area that I showed you. Between 20 to 100 members per church. And they are putting their faith out to grow those churches to between 200 to 300 members per church. It doesn't typically get bigger than that, because then people have to travel too far in those rural areas to get to church, so they end up not going. But this is the vision that God has given them, and here's what God has said to them. He wants them to be a place of refuge and security, a place from which revival springs. And we can testify of this. We see broken people coming in, finding security and revival there, being built up by the church, built up through the family. And I hope that if you're new here, that you experience the same thing. Because that is the heart of God. That's not the heart of the Alliance Church there, and we get to have a different heart. No, there's just one heart of God, and that is His heart, that people be united in the church. There's a little sketch there. We were drawing out plans for a new piece of land which they are trusting God for, and they're saying, when God gives us this land, this is what we're going to do. And there is great vision there. This is why we mission. This is why we mission to Zimbabwe. God has a plan and is inviting us to join into that. Finally, I'm going to invite you to stand. As with all things with God, you have a choice. I have a choice. I believe that all of us stand here tonight because something in us has said to us, we need to make the choice for Jesus, because making the choice for ourselves doesn't seem to work out all too great. That's okay. God doesn't need you to be great before you come to Him. He just needs you to come. Just come. And there's an invitation here, guys. There's an invitation for us as a congregation, for the greater Shofar, to do missions. Yes, that's true. But it's not all. That's not the whole truth. You see, the whole truth is that there's an invitation to every one of us to live out the faith that we have and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And what that means is that there's an invitation for you. If you are in this church, if you've decided that this is the place where you want to plant your feet, you want to partner with the people here. Nobody is perfect. You're also not perfect. That's okay. We'll trust God to come and fill in the gaps, okay? Ons gaan mekaar skaaf, ons gaan mekaar skuur. That's going to happen. But it won't destroy us. It will just make us stronger. The invitation is on the table. And it's here tonight. It always stands, but you need to make the choice somewhere. And here's the choice I'd like you to make tonight. trust God. Go and pray about it if you need to. But trust God to show you one place to serve. Notice I use the word serve. I don't say go on a mission. Maybe you're a mom with a small child going on a mission now. That's not ideal. Okay, but there's one place to serve. And you know what? It might not even be at church or in a ministry at church. It might be something very specific at work, taking coffee to someone's desk, talking to them. But what I can offer you is that right now, here in this family, there is a safe place for you to learn. There is a safe place to slot into a ministry. There's Kiddies Church, there's the band, there's the setup team, there's ministry. There's a whole bunch of other things. Trust God, asking God, where do you want me to serve? Because as we've seen, you think you're going to give, but you receive. You walk away so much richer. And it's not the riches of man, it's the riches of God. And here's the second goal I want to put in front of you. This is maybe not for everyone, but ask God if He wants to grow you into a leader somewhere or in some specific place. When I went to Zimbabwe the first time 4 years ago, three, four years ago, I didn't think I'd ever get the opportunity to lead a mission there. But it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And God provided. He covered everything that was needed. God is calling leaders out of this place. Trust Him. Trust Him tonight. Ask Him, God, what is my first step? I don't believe that God started preparing me to lead a mission the day when I heard they needed someone for the mission. I think He started in 2013, 2012 even, when I went on my first mission. I think that's when it started. And so what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying run out of this church tonight and start your own thing or get yourself a bulky and call yourself leader. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God is building God's church. He's doing it. He's doing it all over. And when our eyes are open, we see the fruits of it. We see the signs of it. It's happening, guys. It's happening around us. The invitation is open for you. It's God's heart to serve. That's why we serve. Let's close our eyes. So as every eye is closed, there's a specific something that God is putting in our hearts, but specifically I feel Him saying that there is a person or persons here tonight who maybe you found yourself in church, small group. Maybe you've even gone as far as to say you're going to open your Bible, you're even going to pray to Him, you're no stranger to God, but maybe you've dwelled away. Maybe you need to just say yes again. Recommit all of it. Move all of the blue boxes out of your heart. Have only God in your heart. And I know that God has spoken to you. It's either come through a word that someone has brought to you. Maybe it's come through a dream. Maybe it's something that you've read once or twice or a few times. But you know tonight that you need to say yes to God again. And what the enemy is going to tell you is, no, no, that's not you. No, man, next time. You can do it next time. Don't listen to that tonight. Hear God, see God, see His arms open. He's saying you don't have to be perfect. And you know what? After this meeting, you're still not going to be perfect. What you need to be is you need while every eye is closed, if that's you tonight, if you feel that you just need to say yes to God again, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I want you to put your hand up as high as you can. 1, 2, 3. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Thank you. God sees that, and He is so pleased with that. You may lower your hand. As a congregation, we're going to all pray together, and we're going to, just like we do in a mission, we're going to add momentum to the prayers of these people tonight. You don't know who they are. You don't have to know. But we can all pray this tonight, so you can pray after me. Father God, Father God, I hear your voice. I hear you speaking to me tonight. Thank you that you came looking. I'm sorry, Lord. I don't know what happened. I'm just lost. Father, I repent of following my own head. Lord, please come and give me your heart. Father, I recommit my life. I say yes to your invitation. Father, thank you that you invite me back. I want to be a son in your house. I want to experience your protection. I want to see your vision. I want to hear your voice, Lord. And Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and work through me. I want my hands and my feet to be busy for you. I want my thoughts to be on you. I want my heart to be pointed to you. Thank you for taking me back, Lord. And Father, thank you for the people here tonight. Thank you for placing them in my life. I know that I can reach out to them. Thank you that I can know that they also need me. In Jesus' name.